I didn't think I'd have to make this video, but the guy was killed on camera. Nobody's family deserves to see that, and it's incredibly cruel that people would then go on the internet and use their platform and their voice to say about someone that murdered. These are real quotes. I don't care that he's dead. He's not a hero. He's a scumbag. He shouldn't be celebrated. So what's that? Oh, no, I'm just talking about George Floyd. Oh, I see where you got confused. Yeah, those quotes are from Charlie Kirk about George Floyd. That's a simple misunderstanding.
Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. That's not how I do it. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
Boy,
it's
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today's episode is still being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory, on this day, September 21st, 2025. September 21, 2025. Getting close to New Year's, boys and girls. Yeah. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Reckon Limelin as a motherfucking crew. And if you're gonna be dead with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. Some of you don't pay attention to that warning. It's my way of saying you fragile white folks, you know, pick a different podcast. Something that's more catered to your ego or that you'll get along. But, you know, whatever. Some of you just love conflict. Before I continue, I want to send a shout out to all you listeners, and in the way we do that, I ask to applaud yourselves. I guess I meant to say in addition to applauding yourself, in addition to sending you a shout out, I'm asking you to applaud yourselves. And part of the reason I do that is because if you're my target audience, you're the kind of person who applauds everyone except your own self. We got something in common. And if this happens to be your first time checking out this podcast, welcome. Yay! Yeah, here's hoping that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. Reminder that for those of you who don't know, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Shutuppodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. In today's episode, titled, 299, This Ain't Sparta. I'm tempted to put that in all in uppercase. This ain't Sparta! I will, in the feature thought, I will discuss the cruelty of whiteness. And I will also be spending a lot of time reminding you this is episode 299. Yeah, 299. What? It was all a dream. I made it further in this edition than I did in the previous edition. But sorry, with that said, before we start, we're going to do a bit of quotes and some randomness. Right. Quotes and randomness. It's before I get to the feature thought, I just I start with some bootleg thoughts. It's not true, not bootleg thought, but appetizer. Just to get us started, man. It's look. It's my goddamn podcast. All right, it's my goddamn podcast. So it's my format. So, you know, thank you for listening. All right, so quotes is random quotes, ideas, thoughts, shit that I thought were thought provoking and worthy of being shared. And randomness is all about random shit that I found on the internet or thoughts of myself that I share with you all. All right, so let's start with, first quote. A man is judged by what's in his soul and not what's in his pocket. Talam AC. To be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be enraged almost all the time. James Baldwin. Yes, this one is a repeat, but it's very appropriate for today's feature thought that I'll be sharing. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Elie Wiesel. Manipulation is when they blame you for your reaction to their toxic behavior, but never discuss their disrespect that triggered you. No author. I got this one off Reddit. Having a soft heart in a cruel world is courage, not weakness. Katherine Henson. And any more? Is there any more left? No, that's it. But I just wanted to tell you that clip that you heard at the beginning before I did the introduction, before I introduced myself, it's a clip by content creator's name on TikTok. TikTok creator's name is Alex. I'm just a guy. Links are on the website. Links are on the show notes. And you can check them out for yourself and get all the information that you're looking for. All right, that's it for quotes. Let's jump to randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Okay. This first one is gonna be corny. All right. I'm gonna start out by sending a shout out to the Black Fat Fam podcast. They on one of their episodes, which I checked out, they had a financial advisor on there, and it was an enjoyable episode, but. But it was kind of advanced for me, and I'm giving you this long setup to say that I've created the spreadsheet for myself. I mentioned this in past episode to start tracking my expenses. And since I've done that, I've been saving on long distance. No, I've been doing this magical thing. I've been doing this amazing thing that, brace yourself, you might want to sit down for it. I've been spending within my means. That's right. Fuck you if you're out there going, anyone could do that. Well, not this financial illiterate guy. Anyway, so it's been 3 months straight. I think I'm on my third month, and I finally have been spending within my mean. Kind of sucks. I like the illusion of being a baller, but and it's been amazing, right? But that's not what I came to talk about. The what happened recently is... the spreadsheet I have is, it's no longer a surprise how much money is in the bank. I keep total, and the number always matches up whatever. The number in my checking account always matches up what's in my spreadsheet. If it doesn't, then I know I have to fix it. Giving you this long story because recently I was $4 off, and it was driving me nuts. Why I was $4 off? I was like, anyways, and I should mention that I was using AI ChatGPT to create the spreadsheet, and to because there's all kind of fancy formulas in there, and I'm doing some real coding in there. It's doing some real coding. I'm just a project manager, and so I was using it to troubleshoot, and then couldn't find the error, only to find out that the mistake was me mistaking a deposit. With a withdrawal. For some reason, I got a $2 refund, $2 credit from whatever. And which made it so difficult to... I'm giving you this long story because when I finally figured out the problem, I was so relieved. And I, in order to... And I challenged my... I challenged ChatGPT, my AI bot, to make... our journey into figuring out this mistake and say, can you do it in a way that's entertaining? And it said, challenge accepted. So I'm going to read what it said. All right. And then it's kind of corny, but whatever. Fuck it. It's my goddamn podcast. Here it goes. I titled it, Where's My $4? But it titled it, The $2 That Broke My Brain. Okay. I'm really hoping it's not going to use slang trying to imitate me. So damn, okay, so he goes, here's how I almost started a holy war with my bank over $2. I'm staring at my spreadsheet, nerd, my Bible. I'm staring at my spreadsheet, my Bible, my sacred temple of financial truth, and suddenly the math doesn't math. I you didn't have to say that. Variant says I'm off by $4. Four! Which in my world is like missing a sock out of the dryer. Something's wrong, and it's not me. Naturally, I start spiraling. Did I fat finger a formula? Did Google Sheets betray me? Or worse, did the bank straight up rob me for $2 twice? I'm ready to suit up like Malcolm X at the window thing. I'm ready to suit up like Malcolm X at the window, finger on the trigger, except instead of revolution, it's me about to call.
Crocker.
Man, don't tell my bank. Anyways, Crocker. Customer service like, run me my money. Jesus Christ. I should not have told that I was black. All right. So I log into my banking app full of righteous fury. I scroll. Then I see it. That $2, it's green, not black. A credit, not debit, which means my bank didn't rob me. My dumbass just logged it wrong. And just like that, variance dropped to zero. Balance restored. The world is at peace. My spreadsheet system didn't fail me. It exposed me. Like a good friend who tells you you've got spinach in your teeth. So yeah, I almost burnt it all down over $2. Turns out my system works perfectly. The problem was me. Moral of the story? Sometimes the villain isn't the bank. It's your own damn keyboard. All right, I chuckled, but it was like, there you have it. All right. The story of how I thought I lost $4.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay. This next one is, I'm going to send this shout out to Dear Rappers. Can we be friendlier? So Mobb Deep apparently released a new album, and I remember being excited about it that I click play. And I can't remember if I enjoyed the song or whatever, but I do remember noticing a pattern. It's like, what? Why all these rap songs I listen to? Why do people gotta be mean? Every song is about how, yo, nigga this, nigga that. I'll fuck you up. I'll F your girl. I will F your mom. I drive a better car than you. It's like you know, if it wasn't for the poetry, rappers would be dicks. And like, what the fuck is your problem? And I just found myself listening to some good old Native Tongue music. And Native Tongue, the rap collaboration, the rap. Ask your parents. And listening to some Tribe Called Quest, listening to some De La Soul. And it's just a reminder how this common theme in hip hop about being a terrible human being. Like, what did the other guy do to you? What's with this constant competition? Can we be friendly? Can we all get along? I'm giving you this long story. It's more, I need to be more mindful of the shit that I listen to. That's it. And I only bring this up because I was just the mindset that I was in. Like, who is this nigger that we have problems with? And why are we so upset with them?
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Next one is, all right, I'm not going to, I'll play the beginning. I'll just play the beginning and then I'll make sense of it. I'll cut it off.
This is going to sound conspiratorial, so let me explain why it's not. The fact that millions of us were forced to watch a violent political assassination across every major social media platform last week was an intentional choice by these platforms, and they have a reason that they wanted you to see it.
All right. Okay, I guess I'll just create a little suspense, tell you it's worth checking out. What's interesting about this clip is I first was going to dismiss it until I got to the end. Right. Sometimes those are my favorite TikTok clip. Is like I'll watch it and then I didn't hit like because I didn't like the fact that she referred to what happened to Charlie Kirk as an assassination. That nigga got shot, all right, by his own people. Whatever, he got shot for all we know. But now, spoiler alert: her part of the conspiracy she believes in is I'm not gonna do it justice, but by the time I was done with this hearing her, it had me thinking about, are we products? No, fuck it. Am I a product of the algorithm? And short answer is yes. I'm thinking about, remember, this is episode 299, and 299 episode, probably 99% of every episode is a reflection of the algorithm. If shit I caught under my timeline. There might be two or three items. There might be one that relates to something personal. I'd have to go through all the titles. But, yeah, being a product of the algorithm, man, it's like it's these tech bros are controlling how we think. Now, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because before that it was television, and I imagine it was TV and media, and like the media has always had a place to play in the shit we think about. But yeah, no, it's just random thought, just something to think about. But yes, I'm going to encourage you to check out the video by, what's her name again? Cheyenne Hunter, CA. Shire Hunt. Oh, she's Canadian? I see a CA. Either it's California or CA. But whatever, man. It's an interesting take that she has. No, I'm not trying to encourage you to adopt conspiracy theories, but I'm just saying it's interesting. Worth checking out.
So you're a philosopher?
This next one is, remember that quote I read earlier that went, a man is judged by what's in his soul and not what's in his pocket, by Talon Macy. This next thing I'm about to read to you is a new thing I'm doing on the podcast. I'm going to read something. You can read? Yeah. Let me see if this works. Okay. I'm going to read I'm thinking of creating a Substack. I'm going to read a thought that I had. Usually I on this podcast, I just speak out loud, but this one I put it on paper, and let's see how it goes, all right? Actually, the future thought is also like that, but okay. And this one is titled Flight Out to Cabo. During my recent Tupac Everyday All Day Run, when I set my playlist to nothing but Tupac, one line stuck out. I got a flight out to Cabo from Heaven Ain't Hard to Find. Triggered might be the wrong word, but it sent me down memory lane. It reminded me of how inadequate I used to feel with the opposite sex, specifically a member of the opposite sex that I was attracted to. Attraction and insecurity always seemed to go hand in hand. I never felt like I had what it took because I couldn't compete with them show-off rappers bragging about being able to fly women out to foreign destination and buying them things that I couldn't afford. I didn't have real male role models to guide me either. My dad's version of masculinity gave me more questions than answers. To him, being a good man meant being a good Christian. Being a good Christian man was good enough. That left me searching for wisdom in television, radio, or from men who either didn't know any better or knew just enough to manipulate women into believing that they were worthy of their attention. Living in a material world didn't help. I used to be convinced that a man was judged not by his soul, by what's in his pocket. Shout out to Talon Macy. His abs, his ability to intimidate other men, and most importantly, his confidence. All shit that I didn't have. It's taken me 50 years to realize, I'm 50 now, and it's taken me this long to realize that not all women are the same. Mainstream media has its version of the ideal man, but I don't have to be that. The things that make me unique are just as valuable to some women as a plane ticket to Cabo is to others. It just took me a long time to see it. That's scene. Yeah, I remember the first time in therapy, telling my therapist how, basically saying, I don't feel like I have anything to offer in a relationship. And the confused look on her face, it was, I don't know if it was confusion, but it was, there was something about her look. And I didn't get it. I didn't, and, you know, I'm like, hey, this is the time. I'm not fishing for compliments here, but I'm just saying I don't see it. And I guess she was trying to figure out how to explain what I just realized. Or what I finally got to realize. Yeah, man, this, we'll call it patriarchy or whatever, man. They had a, you know, what's funny is how I used to blame women for my inadequacy. For that feeling of inadequacy. Every woman that said no, it was just reaffirming that, oh, you ain't shit. And it's all her fault. And yeah, man, boys to men, fella. I guess this is a story, a tale about boys to men. Actually, I should have problem. Should have broken down into problem, struggle, and realization. Yeah, I guess this is. I'll leave this one as a tale about how I went from boys to men. When I was a kid, thought like a kid. I'm not going to quote the Bible, but you know what I mean. Those of you who know that verse of the Bible. But yeah, that's it, gang, for quotes and randomness. Now let's jump to some. Let's jump to feature thought. But before we do that, you know what? What? You know what? What? We're going to take a quick break. Okay, first I'm going to start with the quote, having a soft heart in a cruel world is courage, not weakness. Catherine Henson. I read that already. All right. So why this one I wrote as well, and I'm debating between the full length. No, I didn't. All right, okay, you know what? Fuck it. We're doing it live. We're fucking doing it live. This is an intentional mistake. All right, so this is what happened, gang. Full disclosure. I've been journaling a lot, and I've been using AI to polish my journal. So every once in a while, I'll read out my journal entries. So the Tupac part that I read, that was more me. That was me, but I used AI to iron out the language and to make me more presentable. Now, for this one, the reason I'm laughing is I wrote a text and I used AI to polish it, but I also created a paragraph by paragraph, core ideas paragraph. So I'm not going to read it because I did try reading it and I felt so constrained. But what I did instead is there was like six paragraph. Oh, wow. Nine paragraphs. Damn. Nine paragraphs. And I got it to extract the core idea from every paragraph. So that way I can recite this like a speech. Who knows? I might come up with new ideas that I'm going to incorporate in the written text. But the written text at some point will be published somewhere. It goes like this. All right. I haven't done a speech in a while, but let's try it. Okay. So the title is The Cruelty of Whiteness. The core of what I want to say. At the core of what I'm trying to say, simple pain. Here's what I'm trying to say. Before I unpause this, during the break, I was looking for a video, this comedian making fun of Charlie Kirk. It was a comedian. I don't know if he was making fun, but it's a comedian. I could see he was a stand-up comedian, and I was trying to find that video. And in doing so, I landed, apparently there's a memorial happening at the same time, or that happened today for Charlie Kirk. And his wife went on, and she did the tears about, yeah, I'm going to forgive the shooter. And, yo, the whole shit looked theatrical. The whole shit felt theatrical. Now, I give you this long-ass setup to say that I feel nervous saying that. I feel nervous about the fact that that this is what this whole speech, this is what this cruelty is all about, is the fact that this guy was not a good guy. At least not for me. He may have been for you, racist motherfucker. He may have been for you, terrible human being. You know, let me check that word out, right? But he wasn't for me, and that shit was obvious. And this constant of, hey, don't say anything bad about the guy. The truth is, because he's got powerful friends, and they're in a position to say, hey, shut the fuck up or feel consequences. That's the only reason. It ain't a right or wrong thing. And this is what I'm talking about, the cruelty of whiteness. And this is what I mean by, and this is what this whole piece is about, is how whiteness is cruel because it denies me permission to feel and speak that denial, to feel and speak, and that denial is violence. Yeah, okay, I wouldn't have said that. Okay, I'm going to use my own words in here. All right. This week, this whole repression of really being allowed to say what I want to say. Look, man, if you're mourning, if you're at the, you know, mourning the death of a relative who was murdered. Wait, what's the example I'm trying to say? My point is, it would make sense for you to have hatred for this murderer. And or if I didn't like your whoever, like, I can respect that space. I'm not going to show up to your funeral and be like, fuck, I'm glad he's dead. Even I would do it. But in open form, he lived the kind of life where he didn't expect to be liked by people like me. And the worst part is I've been forced to pretend like or show some respect for a person who had no respect for me. And like it's one thing to not like, oh, he's fat. But it's like he was like, what was his name? Bull Connor racist. 2025 version of Bull Connor. Google him. Bull Connor, excuse me, racist. And this whole thing had me thinking about what it must have been like to survive as a slave. And this tradition of how you had to convince this slave, your slave owner, your enslaver, that you were part of the team. Like, yeah, I may have sold your wife. I may have whipped your kids. I may have raped your daughter. But you need to put on a smile. You know, it's my birthday. You better put a fucking effort. You better smile like you love me. I feel like this tradition of silencing us continues. Like, by white people, continues. Like, they inherited that gene. They inherited that gene from their ancestors of just being cruel, of not being able to show empathy to us. And this Charlie Kirk death, not being allowed to react the way, honestly want to react, being suppressed feels like it's that same. The motherfucker was racist. What the fuck you want me to tell you? And what's interesting about slavery, just a side thought, is it's reminding me of the same way these white people, these enslavers, took our humanity. By doing that, the irony is they hollowed themselves. They took away their own humanity by taking ours away. Dehumanization hurts not only the targets, but hollows out the perpetrator. By stealing our humanity, they erode their own. Now, like I mentioned, what's been bothering me is how people have been getting fired for speaking their mind about the death of Charlie Kirk. And not a very liked person. Maybe on the other side of the aisle, maybe on the other, I call it, you say the other side of the aisle, I call it, look, I look at racism as I'm at war with racism, and I look at it as like I'm on a battlefield. On my side are my allies. On the other side is the enemy, is the proponent of, is the advocate for racism. And, this society, punishes us for speaking our mind about a person we didn't like, who didn't even deserve to be liked by us. Tolerated? Nah, not even. I mean, I'll tolerate a Leaf fan. Excuse me. I'll tolerate someone who opposes my, who's against my favorite sport team, doesn't like rap music. That's, you know, that's, I can understand that. But when you're like, but this gotta like, your humanity, when you start chipping away humanity, we can't be friends. Here's where victims get punished while abusers get tolerated or praised. This is what the society is. Right? Consequences aren't applied evenly, which exposes the system's cruelty. What I mean by that is it goes back to that quote that I read earlier. How'd it go? It said, manipulation is when they blame you for your reaction to their toxic behavior, but never discuss their disrespect that triggered you. A lot of us were triggered by this man. That was his work. That was his that's how he made his money, owning the liberals. And now everyone is like, shh. Like, the society is so wild. It's like, I remember the first time I heard the line that says, stop telling women, stop blaming the victim. Stop telling women what to dress or how to teach boys not to rape. I remember one of my uncles, he passed away, and I was really not inspired to go to his funeral. One, I didn't know him that well. Like, he was just my dad's brother. That's all he was. And in addition to that, he was my dad's brother, my cousin's father. And but in addition to that, he used to beat his wife. And it's one of those things that I remember how it was one of those things we just ignored. It was just like we prayed for it. It's this. Poor woman, she ended up, his wife ended up divorcing him. But I remember it's like, shouldn't we get this guy some help? Should we like work this out? It was just that thing that we ignored. It was just that thing that we walked around. Like, you know, you couldn't, hey, dude, that's kind of fucked up what you did. It's not something you would bring it up. It was supposed to be that thing we just, like I said, ignored. Anyway, and I remember being unmotivated to go to his funeral. I ended up going, but I showed up super late. Super late. Maybe it was passive. No, I was just unmotivated. Seriously, I was unmotivated. I was like begrudgingly putting my clothes on because I felt guilty to go. But I remember, like, we're not going to talk about this shit. Back to my point. It's the people who cause harm. It's like in this society, we like work around them. We just ignore them. And it's up to us on the receiving end. You're supposed to know better to just tolerate them. So that's what I mean when I say victims get punished while abusers get tolerated or praised. Kirk and Charlie Kirk, he was praised. Consequences aren't applied evenly, which exposes the system's cruelty. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the consequence. Like, freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom of consequences. I fully get it. You know, I've been preaching that. I've been saying that. You know, you say the N-word and your boss has the right to say, whoo, you're bad for business. Now, Kirk, on the other hand, he's in a situation where he has powerful friends. Now, as much as I'm nervous, like, as I'm talking shit on this podcast, on my free time and whatever, right? But I don't have it as bad. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Rachel Gilmore. Rachel Gilmore is a journalist, independent journalist. Is that the word? Podcaster, media head in Canada, and I can't remember. She said something. She quoted something. She said something about after Charlie Kirk died. She said something, just exposing along the line of, you know, her version of what happened to him is fucked up, but. She didn't diss him, but she was just honest about her opinion. And then some Canadian politician responded, I think it's Andrew Scheer, responded, oh, well, fucking left is heartless and blah, blah. But they didn't even hear what he said. And then American media made it to the American version, the American portion of Twitter or whatever, and then she's been getting death threats for it. So yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I don't think consequences should be come down to death threats. But what I'm getting at is consequences aren't applied evenly, which is exposed the system's cruelty. I could accept consequences. I'll accept the consequence if it comes to it. I'm speaking my mind, whatever, man. But I would prefer, I wish I lived in a world that if I were to get fired, lose my job for this shit, like they were just honest about the reason. It's not about, you know, oh, well, don't talk ill about the dead. No, say it. Look, man, we prefer niggers who work for us who know their place. Imagine when Queen Elizabeth died. Is it Queen Elizabeth? Well, whatever. Queen Elizabeth died. The Irish were celebrating. Black people were celebrating. Anyone under the British colony who was colonized by the English, they were celebrating. And there was a whole bunch of people going, how dare you? It's like empathy. Where I'm going with empathy is being able to understand that, okay, he was cool for us, but they have a reason to not like this guy. I forgot the theme of this cover. The title of this piece is The Cruelty of Whiteness. Everyday cruelty. Cruelty isn't abstract. It shows up in ordinary interactions, in ignorance and refusal to understand why words wound. I have three examples. The cruelty of whiteness. And I had an old classmate on Facebook who, his business I supported. I was so proud of the guy and whatever. I was just proud of the dude, man. He had his own business and I used to support his business. And one day he decides to, after the death of George Floyd, you know, touchy subject. And homeboy talks about how, I don't know how what happened to him was racist. And I remember like calling him on it, like, you know, I as a friend, I try to talk to him as a friend and saying, hey, dude, I know you're not trying to be racist, but what you said was racist. Homeboy exploded. At the time I didn't know the concept of white fragility, but he just took it as an attack and he like got upset at me. He had no idea what he did hurt. I felt that was cruel. I had a coworker's at work. I had one joke about casually. These are people I had good working relationship with. I had one joke about lynching me, right? Because he's white. He's oblivious to the history of the word lynching, and he just casually used it. I don't know. Maybe he just, black people like to be, whatever. He's not the, what's the word? Strange fruit listing kind of person. But he made a joke about lynching me, and that shit set me up. Homeboy does not realize how close he came to dying. I had another coworker who dropped the N-word. Just casually dropped, just ran a conversation with just me and her and another guy. Just casually dropped the N-word. When I, at the time, was shocked. I was, what the fuck? You know, the next day when we talked about it, I'm like, what the fuck was that about? She was like, I just wanted to see how you were going to react. Again, no idea how close she came to dying that day. Now, I'm not a violent guy. This is just me expressing emotion. But in all three cases, I felt that shit was fucking cruel. But that cruelty was like, it's like a default setting on white people. It's like, I don't know. I didn't know that was racist. I didn't know. How about, did you know that you were being fucking cruel? Were you intentionally being cruel? Fuck your definition. Fuck racism. How about just cruel to another human being? Does that bother you? Because if it doesn't, then we can't call each other friends or be close. The Canadian Parliament's ovation prove who gets honored. I spoke about my coworkers. The Canadian Parliament honored, gave a standing ovation for the memories of Charlie Kirk. And this is the same guy, oblivious of the fact that, yo, to them it was just like he said a few things that hurt people's feelings. Nah, he said cruel shit. He said the kind of racist shit that usually triggers white people to like burn down black neighborhoods. Like if you go through the, maybe that's what it is, man. It's they're not taught this history. But if you go through the history of every atrocity committed by white men against black people or marginalized people, it always started with the kind of shit that Charlie Kirk would say. Like, I remember when I finally realized why Jewish people don't like the whole we control the bank shit. We control, we're good with money or anything like that. I was like, well, that's a compliment. You guys are good with money. Because that's the kind of shit Hitler we used to say. The Nazis used to say. And that made it easier for them to end up in concentration camps. And it's the dehumanizing shit. Anyway, so the Canadian Parliament gave this asshole a standing ovation. Yes, I said asshole. And let me read the actual line that Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote a piece about the redemption of Charlie Kirk. And one example that he used that really got my attention, he goes, I swear I'm organized. He goes, this Vanity Fair piece, he says, he pulled up Kirk's own words about Haitians. He says, calling Haiti infested with demonic voodoo. Sure, I've heard that before. Saying Haitian immigrants were raping your women and hunting you down at night. And warning they would become your masters. That's the kind of shit that triggers violent white men. That's the kind of shit violent white men use to justify, have used to justify their atrocities against black people. And they applauded that. Canada has this, I'm born in this country, but Canada has had this tradition of constantly reminding me, of constantly reminding people like me, that some of us are more loyal to our white skin than we are to that flag. We're more loyal to this white skin than you are to this flag. But we expect you to handle that, to deal with it. Being an empath in this world is already heavy. Being black empath, a black, highly sensitive person, makes it heavier. You feel the absence of care in a sharper way. Sometimes without giving it much thought, I find myself tempted to match the world's cruelty. Yeah, I've told myself that. Sometimes I fantasize about being a cruel person to just get rid of this so I wouldn't be such a bitch-ass nigga. So I wouldn't give a fuck as much. Sometimes I feel in order to survive in this cruel world, you need to match its cruelness. Feels that way. Now, this is the part where I should say, but I know better. But I'm like, I don't know. I just feel in one of those, if you can't beat them, join them. Maybe this is me. This is the part where this is probably the beginning of me turning into a supervillain. They say, like I read earlier, having a soft heart in a cruel world is courage, not weakness. I want to believe that. I want to believe that I'm being courageous, but for the most time, all I feel is tired. That's it. Tired. Tired of Whitey's cruelty. Tired of Whitey's cruelty, which is why I always start this episode with fuck Whitey, because Whitey's cruel. On that note, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast, episode 299. Yay! I might be taking a no, I will be taking a break from publishing. No, I'm not leaving. This ain't daddy saying that I'm going for smoke cigarettes and I'm going to pick up milk and never coming back. No, I'm going to take a break. I just need to reorganize shit because I'm going to start the episode 300. I don't know how I'm going to do 300. I know I'm going to title it. It's my goddamn podcast. And but yeah, patting myself on the back for making it this far. I shout out to myself. I'm hoping that I will start having interviews, bringing more. The first 299 was B Black figuring out his voice. I feel like I'm closer to it. And yeah, I'm giving you this long story just to say that I'll be taking a break, probably a week, maybe whatever. We'll see how it goes. I'll go where the spirit leads me, and who knows? I'll probably republish old episode or something like that. But shout out to all you listeners. I don't know if any of you have been around since episode 200, since episode 01, but shout out to whenever you logged in. Shout out to your listeners, man. Shout out to your listeners. Again, applaud yourselves. All of us. We are winners. Yeah, we are winners. All right. Okay. On that note, this concludes today's episode. 299. Website shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question:
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, freaking label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too forever. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.